afternoon, March 2nd, I think, and got John Henderson on the line, and John is going to talk about Magnet Cove and Butterfield and Malvern and Lord knows whatever else, and we'll turn it over to him and let him get to cranking. John, it's all yours.
All right. Thank you, Tom. I went to Malvern, and I believe it was the first part of 1971 as supervisory agent for the Rock Island Railroad, relieving Jimmy Bounds, who had been promoted to another position. I was in Malvern until the fall of 1974. We had quite a little operation in Malvern. We had two road switchers headquartered there. And of course, during that period of time, until 1972, the train crews consisted of six people on each switch engine. So there was always a lot of work.
That was when Arkansas still had the full crew law?
Yeah, they busted it in the fall of 71 and took effect in 72. But we didn't see a reduction in our forces on our switchers until probably the last part of 72 when they reduced them by one.
So
they let attrition take care of the biggest part of it. So nobody really lost a job. The ones that they cut off of one job, they bid at another job. But anyway, we had a few industries around Malvern, and we had National Lead, and then we had Dresser Industries, which, if I remember correctly, the correct title was Dresser Magabar, if I remember right, M-A-G-A-B-A-R. They processed barite, which is a drilling mud. It's a drilling compound that's used in the oil industry. But in order to do this, they had a mine about 8 miles north of Malvern on top of a mountain where they extracted the raw ore from the mine, and then it was brought down to Malvern by train where it was processed. And after it was crushed and processed, most of the time they put it in 80 to 100 pound bags.
Mm-hmm.
And loaded them in boxcars, shipped off to the oil fields. But we had two switchers, and both of them were subject to work at the mines any time, but mostly it was the night job. Went to work about 6 o'clock in the evening that took care of this, because they would take the empty hoppers that Dresser had unloaded during that day, and they were little small, we call them ore genies. They were a little small, probably 25 to 30 foot long.
Okay, now this job that went to work about 6 o'clock, it went to work at Malvern?
At Malvern. The switchers went to work at Malvern.
Okay.
Well, they did maybe a little switching around Malvern, but they would, usually it was 18 empty hoppers at a time. They would take these hoppers up to the mine, up the mountain. And they had, after they went from Malvern to Butterfield, which is 5 miles, they had to traverse a mountain for about 2.5 to 3 miles, which was the steepest rail line in the state of Arkansas. And I cannot for the life of me remember the degree of that grade, but it seemed to me like it was either a 7 or an 8% grade, which is extra steep for a railroad.
Uh-huh.
But it was, and they would take these empty hoppers up. They would spot them on the loading track.
When they took the hoppers up the hill, did they shove them or pull them?
They pulled them up the hill.
Okay.
The best I can remember, I made a couple of trips with them, but they pulled them up the hill, and then as they pulled in, they just shoved them back into the mine. And they would couple up all of the loaded hoppers. And there was 36 at one time in this service. They would load 18, So when the switcher got there, they would hook onto these 18, they would couple all the air hoses, and then the engine would sit there for a while to make sure he had his air charged in the whole train line.
In other words, the crew ensured that the brakes were all pumped up and that everything was working.
That all the air reservoirs was completely full, that is correct. And I have tried to find a timetable or instructions from that period of time, but I can't. But they were required to set so many retainers on the cars.
Mm-hmm.
In case of an emergency, then it would automatically set the brakes. But most of the, and as I said, they had three brakemen. Well, when they started down the mountain, most of the time, except maybe in the dead of the winter, the three brakemen would ride on various cars coming down the mountain,
mm-hmm.
as really as a safety feature, because they would sit there by a handbrake if they had to, and help maybe slow down the train. But on the way back down the mountain, about halfway, any engineer worth his salt would stop the whole train. There's a place up there that was fairly flat, it was still downhill, but he would stop his train, set all the brakes, and then he would sit there and rev the engine up and let it pump air again to ensure that all of the air reservoirs on each car was fully pumped up. And then they would come on down to Butterfield, which there was a switch at the bottom of the mountain at Butterfield. And it had a derail on it.
Okay.
You know what, Tom?
I was going to ask about the derail.
Yeah, it had a derail on it. And
was that a split rail derail? As opposed to one that flops up and on top of the ball?
I don't remember.
Okay.
Seemed me like it was split rail. Jimmy Bounds may be able to shed some light there. I don't.
Okay.
I'm thinking it was split rail because usually as it come down through there, they can just keep from stopping the train on that grade. They'd be going real slow, and the conductor would get off, or the fireman, and run and throw that switch.
Somebody would have to run for the derails to try to close it to keep from stopping.
Keep the train from having to stop.
But as I understand it, the normal position of the derail was open, and it was supposed to be so when the crew was up the hill, so that in the event that something got away coming downhill, they weren't going to roll out on the main track forever because the derail would get them.
That is correct, yeah.
Okay.
Now, there'd be a time or two they'd leave it open, but, I mean, leave it, the derail line for them.
Uh-huh.
But most of the time it was left so that it would derail a car. And as you said, if one ever got away on top of that mountain, there was no stopping it.
Yep.
It would probably get enough speed up, they would probably derail on one of the curves because this line was real curvy due to the grade of the mountain. In order to get the ruling grade down as much as possible, it was pretty curvy.
So it wasn't a straight shot going up the side of this hill.
No. It wasn't a straight shot. If it had been, it would have been a 20% grade probably. And you couldn't have. But anyway, they would bring these loaded ore jennies back down to Malvern and spot them at Dresser Industries.
Let me interrupt. When you got down to the bottom of the hill at Butterfield, did they, and my problem is that I've been to Butterfield, but of course, you know, things are, Butterfield itself is still there, but I think some of the tracks have been removed, and I still don't have fixed in my mind the way all these tracks ran. But when they came down the hill, And we're going to go to Malvern. Did they go around the Y and then head right on down the branch into Malvern?
No, they couldn't do that. They had to back into a track.
Another yard track?
You're right, one of the yard tracks, and run around the train with the engine.
Okay, back toward Hot Springs, and then go to Malvern.
Yeah, back toward Hot Springs, and then go to Malvern. Of course, now there at Butterfield, there was sometimes a little switching to do because that was the branch line from Benton down to, or actually from Haskell, down to going to Hot Springs, and the Hot Springs local would have cars occasionally for Malvern. And also on the trip up, if there was any cars going out, like the loaded ore boxes, they'd be set for later pickup. Mm-hmm. So they come into Malvern a lot of times with more than just the ore. But they would spot the ore at Drescher, and so they would get started working on them early the next morning. But it was, like I said, it was good business. And, of course, around Malvern we had a big rock quarry where the vermiculite rock, the type rock was mined that we used on the roadways. And as far as I know, they're still trucking rock out of there.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the depot, our depot, set right next to the Missouri Pacific, which later became the Union Pacific, right next to the Missouri Pacific trackage. Their depot was across the track from the Rock Island Depot and down a little piece.
Mm-hmm.
But the depot was really a small building. Didn't look like a traditional type depot. We had, including myself, we had three employees and had for several years, had a chief clerk and had a stenographer and a telegraph operator, and which the chief clerk was Frank Davis, the stenographer and secretary was Miss Gertrude Brazel, and then Claude Tabor was the telegraph operator. All three of these people have since passed on, so
Did those people all work day shift?
They all worked days, right.
Okay.
The only person worked at night was me one day. Right. Because, as you know, with supervisors on the railroad, it's can or can't anytime you need it. But
If you can, describe for me where was the plant at Malvern, the Bayrite plant in Malvern. I'm kind of familiar with where the railroad and where the UP is and where the former Rock Island is, but I don't know where this plant was.
Okay, you know where the Rock Island Depot still sits? I mean, the building that was used?
I know.
Right next to the overpass.
Okay.
On the south side of the overpass.
Okay.
Okay, the Drescher was immediately behind that building. It was a pretty good size operation. Of course, as you said, it's no longer.
Was this plant, the Drescher plant, was it also adjacent to the Union Pacific or the MOP at that time?
No, it was not.
Okay.
We were the only ones that serviced that particular plant.
Okay.
Like I said, a lot of their product went out on the Union Pacific, which we would put in interchange.
You interchange right at Malvern?
Right there at Malvern, right.
Okay.
And they to us. And, of course, about the time I moved to Malvern, maybe a little bit before when the Union Pacific took their track up from Benton into Hot Springs,
mm-hmm.
they run over our track from Malvern to Hot Springs.
Okay, and that's where they got on the Rock Island?
At Malvern, right.
Okay.
They got on it at Malvern and went to Hot Springs, and then they got back on their trackage at Hot Springs, which was almost down, well, it wasn't quite downtown, it was Missouri Junction, but anyway, they then they'd get on their trackage and do their switching on their industries and on out to Mountain Pine, which was a big sawmill and lumber processing plant, which is now closed down. The time there at Malvern that I had, that was some of the most enjoyable time on the railroad, because I had good employees all the way around, all the way from the brakeman to, you know, to even the train master that I worked for.
Mm-hmm.
And he liked the Malvern area, and he was up there quite often.
Who was that?
Don Hart.
Okay.
And he was the one that keep me up at night. He'd come up, want to go, he's away from home, and he'd, on expenses, well, he'd want to go out and test it.
What, was he headquartered down at El Dorado?
El Dorado.
Okay.
That's correct, yeah. He had the territory from El Dorado to, but not including Little Rock, and also on south of El Dorado. But anyway, of course, we were required, or he was required at that particular time, as a as an agent, I was not required to make efficiency tests.
Mm-hmm.
Except on the office employees only, in the area, as we had agents at two or three different locations. But Don was, so he'd always want me to come up there, and we'd go up to the mines and watch them switch and make sure they're doing everything safely. And then he'd get me to go with him clear over to Haskell, watch some of those trains that's going to Louisiana. And so I spent a little time away, and since he was on expenses, I always made him pay for the meal.
That sounds fair to me.
But I said I always made him, he always would. But anyway, said in addition to Drescher, of course, we had National Lead, which I don't remember much about National Lead. We had a big wholesale feed supply house that we serviced, and
Let's talk just a little bit about National Lead. Now they were up in the old volcano too, as I understand it. But they had a standalone mining and processing operation up there.
They did.
So all you did was set in empty boxcars and take out loaded boxcars.
That's correct. And of course our office, of course, did the billing on them.
Uh-huh.
And if they went on Rock Island, we left them at Butterfield. If they were going to on the Union Pacific, then we would bring them to Malvern and interchange them to there. But like I said, theirs was a self-contained industry, and the only time we would go up there is just to watch the switchers, really, or if I was riding a switcher, go there and switch it. It wasn't a great big operation, of course.
Their production, was it smaller than Drescher?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it was smaller.
Did the same 6 p.m. job switch National Lead? That switch Drescher?
Yes, they did, and the. Most of the time. Sometimes, if they didn't have anything loaded, and they loaded something out early the next morning, then we would send the daylight job up.
Okay.
And just strictly to get their cars and bring them down.
Mm-hmm.
And because most of the time, a switcher with 18 loaded cars coming down that hill, they had about all they needed.
Yeah.
So the daylight job, quite frequently, went up the hill.
Okay.
And I only rode the thing at night one time. I rode them in the daytime a time or two. But
when the track went up the hill, and I guess it kind of got up to the top of the hill, more or less the track split. One went over to National Lead, and the other way went over
right,
to Drescher.
Right, went over to Drescher.
Okay.
There at the top of the hill. And then, of course, I can't remember what year it was that National Lead closed that operation down as far as the rail goes, but it was before Drescher went out of business.
Was it while you were still there or after?
No, it was after.
Okay.
If I remember right, it was about the time I left.
Okay.
Because I was transferred from there to Amarillo, Texas.
Did you all keep any of the spare Orogenies on hand, or
not that I know of?
What was there?
I don't remember any spare. Now we wrecked some of them one time, and they got some from somewhere to fill it in. We wrecked some that was sort of beyond repair.
Can you remember anything about the wreck?
Well,
what it was or where it was?
The big one was what we call the schoolhouse the church house crossing. You can still see the cross in there.
Is that up on the hill?
Yeah, up on the hill. If you've been to Butterfield, there's a going on through Butterfield from Malvern. Going on through Butterfield, there's a church up there. Sits on your right. In fact, I think it says Butterfield Baptist Church. And right past it, there's a road that goes down there and crosses the railroad. In fact, a lot of people live back in there now. Drove back in there. I do not remember the cause of that derailment, but I know we had several cars on the ground. And
it wasn't a massive derailment.
No.
Like a train, like the thing got away coming down the hill balled everything up.
Probably track problems, but I don't remember.
Okay.
But I can remember those big caterpillars trying to move those things on the side of that mountain. I remember everybody had enough sense when they going to move on the car. You stayed back.
Uh-huh.
Because there was a cable broke one time. I wasn't there when it happened, but they showed me it took down about 7 or 8 pine trees, about 8 inches in diameter.
Yeah.
As it packed come through there, so it would have took your head off.
Yeah. You're talking about the cats. That Halter out cleaning it up?
I believe it's one we used was Halter.
Okay.
Of course, they were predominant. They were the predominant railroad derailment specialist there. But anyway, I know they, what few cars it was. Of course, due to this real slow speed coming down, it wasn't but 3 or 4 cars.
Yeah.
That actually got on the ground. Some of them, they were able to get behind with a bulldozer, pull the rest of the cars back, re-rail them, and pull them back, fix the track, pull them back up there with the others.
Uh-huh.
Until they could get, you know, the track rebuilt.
Yeah.
Of course, I think, yeah, I mentioned there a while ago, of course, coming down from the mountain there at Butterfield, they always had to go toward Hot Springs, and there wasn't a why. So that's the reason they had to pull down and back in to Butterfield.
Okay. Do you remember any particular mechanical problems with those Orogenies?
I don't remember any.
They were old, weren't they?
They were old, yeah. But
as a matter, do you know what an arch bar truck is?
Yeah.
Sometime in the mid-70s, I happened to be passing through Little Rock visiting relatives, and I went down to the little yard over there by the what's now the Clinton Depot, and one of those old Orogenies that was marked condemned.
Yeah.
Was sitting there in the yard. Obviously, was on the way to the scrapper, and I took a photograph of the thing, and so I'd loaned the photograph to somebody else. But if I'm not mistaken, in my mind's eye, that little car had arch bar trucks on it. And even, you know, by the mid-70s, you didn't hardly see arch bar trucks anywhere anymore.
No, well, those things were so old, but they, due to the operation there at Malvern, where there was never any speed involved, you know, like a mainline movement or anything, so the cars probably lasted longer on that account.
Right. Did you ever have occasion to observe the car shaker at the dresser plant in Malvern?
I've been over and watched them dump the ore. Yes.
Can you say a few words about that?
Well, these cars dump from the side.
Turn them sideways?
No. The side. Well, yeah. Or the sides flip down. I was trying to think the other day when I was making my notes.
Oh, it was kind of a lateral discharge of some kind.
Yeah. Where they shook the ore into there, went into a grinder of some sort. But the best I can remember, they dumped from the side. It's like a side dump ballast car that you've probably seen.
Yeah. And the purpose of the shaker was because sometimes this stuff would get stuck inside the car?
Oh, you bet, yeah.
Was that a frequent occurrence?
In wet weather it was.
Uh-huh.
And that's the reason they didn't like to mess with them when it was raining.
Uh-huh.
And then, of course, even in the mine, they would run across, it was probably some that was, well, water seeped down into.
Uh-huh.
But they had to shake them, and I think I recall some of their workers with pry bars and things to knocking the stuff loose in the car.
Mm-hmm. I talked to an old hoghead a couple of months ago. He lives right outside Malvern. Charles
Kirkpatrick.
Kirkpatrick. I think I mentioned to you before,
uh-huh.
And Charles said that one of the problems for him as an engineer was that, you know, because these cars, at least periodically, were being run through this shaker, that here and there were some problems because of the beating that the cars took, and so they just, you know, they had to be real careful with these things because they never knew when they were going to fall apart while they were out on the job.
Yeah, that is correct. Hold on just a second.
Go ahead.
Let me call you back. I'm on another phone.
Okay.
All right. That was my cell phone, right? But, yeah, that probably could have been. Like I said, I don't really remember any damage to the cars where they had to really be worked over. And the best I can remember, Dresser had their own people to check the bearings, you know, the brass.
Uh-huh.
Keep them oiled.
Can you talk about the method that the company that Dresser used, both at the plant in Malvern and the mine up the hill, how they moved the cars when they were loading and unloading?
Well, when they were loaded, they had winches, if I remember right, to pull those cars with.
A drum winch, maybe?
Yeah, something like that, you know, where they just run the long cable up through a bunch of pulleys and
mm-hmm.
pull them. Now, they had a little old jitney-type thing down there at Malvern, you know, a little old bitty thing. Probably pull one car at a time.
Kind of a track mobile type thing?
There, something like that, yeah.
Okay.
But that's about all I remember of that operation. I wish I could. Like I said, it's just been too many years.
Okay, well, let me look at my notes here and let's see what else I can come up with. Was this a 7 day a week operation out of Malvern with the two switch jobs?
No, it was 6 day a week.
6 day. Sunday
right.
Shut down?
Yeah, it shut down on Sunday. Yeah, we're 6 day road switchers.
Okay.
Did either one of these jobs go further than between Magnet Cove, Butterfield, and Malvern?
No, sir.
Okay. Everything else in any direction would have been handled by the other
hot
road
local train. Right.
Okay. Jones Mill was is that kind of west of Butterfield? Toward Hot Springs?
Yeah, it's west. Right. It's west of there.
Okay. I don't know much about them. Did the road trains take care of their whatever switching they needed, or did they have an in-house switcher?
That's right. The only switching done over there was at the big cable plant where they made aluminum cable.
Uh-huh.
They would bring in bars of aluminum, and they'd melt them down and make cable out of them, wire out of them. I was trying to think, I think it was Alcoa on them.
Okay.
As far as
doing the work at the plant there, basically shoving cars in and picking up...
Right. The Hot Springs local will take care of that.
Okay. Train going down toward, what's the end of the other line, Haskell or?
Well, Haskell is where it come into the line, right. Come into the Louisiana line.
Oh, okay. It
go from Little Rock down through Bauxite and Benton down to Haskell, then took on off down toward Fordyce and El Dorado down that way.
Man, I got to get somebody to draw me a diagram of all this stuff. You know, it's helpful for me if I understand the way things are laid out, and I've made a little bit of an effort. In fact, I've gotten a couple of track diagrams of the National Lead thing and Butterfield, and I think I also got one for the dresser operation. But the way all of this stuff is all tied in with the branch lines, you know, and I've got timetable, so you know I can see this stuff on timetable, but that really doesn't tell you exactly how it's laid out.
Right.
Oh well. Let's see what else, if anything. Okay. That pretty well exhausts my questions. If we can leave it in, you know, this thing is going to get strung out over the rest of the year. Then I got to talk to Jimmy, and I got some other people that I'll probably end up talking to, and I've got to do some research. Next week I'm going to try to go over to the newspaper over at Hot Springs and see if they've got a photographic archive that maybe I can find some photographs. So I've got some more work to do, and here and there questions will come up, and if it's all right with you, if I got a question I think you might answer, I'll holler at you.
Yeah, please do.
Our
next Rock Island Club meeting, we're going to go down and tour the old Rock Island Depot.
I saw that.
This old boy was down there, Bob G. I don't know what he's got to do with it, but he has something to do with the Clinton School.
Oh, he's not a Rock Island guy?
No.
Okay.
He come to our meeting. He run across somebody. He come over to our meeting.
Uh-huh.
And he was wanting to know where certain things were in that depot, dispatcher's office, colored waiting room, the white waiting room, all this, you know.
Uh-huh.
I don't know why when they took that thing over, why they didn't get somebody that knew a little bit about the depot.
You know,
before they started remodeling. Now I might walk in there now and couldn't tell it from an atom. See, I used to be a ticket agent there.
Uh huh.
And then I trained as a dispatcher upstairs and actually dispatched trains from there. But it was upstairs, and they may have moved the staircases and everything else. I don't know.
You know, these other people that took it over, other than the fact that it was a neat old building of railroad origin, I think for the most part they couldn't have cared less about, you know, any particulars of the railroad.
No.
Which is too bad.
I asked him had he found the tunnel under the track yet. He said, well, he'd heard about it. It was blocked in several years ago.
The tunnel under the track, I'd heard about one that's a tunnel that...
That goes to the river.
That ran down to the river that, I guess, the old... it was the old slave route or something.
Well, I've heard that story about it, and I think it was blocked in before my time.
Uh-huh.
But they had one on the track for the passengers, you know, to go under...
To go from one side to the other.
Right.
You know, it'd be interesting to go over there with a jackhammer and a backhoe and start rooting around.
Right.
While I've got you on here, I probably am not going to be able to make another meeting until the one at the end of September. Do you know what the date is of that thing?
No, it'll be the... Is it the first or last? Let's see. It'd be on a Tuesday.
Last Tuesday in September, maybe?
I was trying to remember. Is it the last Tuesday? I'll have to run my traps. I've got it in another book. And seem to me like it's the last Tuesday of September.
Okay.
I'll email you and tell you the date.
Okay. That way I can plug it in. I've got a trip up to the Quad Cities in the middle of September, but I got to thinking about it the other day when I finish that business and I head back home, probably generally head back down in the direction of Little Rock, and if the timing is pretty close, I just make it a point to stop and see my sister for a few days and try to make the reunion.
I'm going to try to go to El Reno the last Saturday of March to the reunion. I don't know whether I'll be able to make it or not.
Well, I hope you do. If you do, I'll see you there.
I'm going to how my wife gets along, but...
Have you been to one of their March reunions?
Oh, yeah.
They have a good crowd.
Yeah, I've been there the last 4 or 5 years, probably. Maybe more than that.
Okay. Well, Jimmy gave me a holler here a while back. Said they were planning it. Of course, I'm aware that when they have it, they're close enough that it's pretty easy for me to run up there. And I've still got a few guys that I need to do business with or find out if they want to do business with me. So I'm going to go up there this year.
Okay.
John, I appreciate your help.
All right.
And you will hear from me assuredly down the road.
Okay.
Thanks again.
Have a good day.
You too.
Bye now.